And welcome back, everybody. It's another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 358. It is the midway point of the 2026 fantasy baseball season, which means it's time for our mid-year position recaps, which we do each and every season, a couple positions each show. And if things lined up the way that my co-host scheduled it, we'll be done right at the All-Star break, which is perfect timing to get ready for the last couple months of the baseball season. So we'll get to that, some news, and much, much more. But before we get to some analysis, let's get some housekeeping. You can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How are we doing, my friend?
I am doing well. I don't think any major news / life events to report. Had a good Father's Day. Hope you did as well. But now excited for this series, these midterms. I don't know how you did the midterms in college, but it's good.
By my dancing in Vegas, I did quite well.
Yeah, sure. If you took a dancing class, but no, I like take. It's a nice opportunity for us to. I know a lot of our Bloom Board shows, we kind of dive in on specific players and risers, fallers. And I know we're only halfway done, although we're already halfway done. I don't know how to frame that. We're halfway through the season, which is kind of crazy. But nice time to just kind of take a step back, higher level. Like, how did we do? How are we doing so far in terms of, you know, preseason ADP, preseason drafts? And how does it look right now? There's these positions we'll do tonight. Catcher first. We'll see if we get to more. A lot of unexpected chaos in the first half of the season.
Yep, it's always interesting looking back on these now and then also at the end of the season, because some of these guys will, you know, pull their heads out of their rear ends and we'll put together a strong second half and it won't be as big of a deal. The old back of the base card, baseball card conundrum some people have. But then there's also like it's our running joke that we'll emphasize more at the end of the season. It's like you had to pick between these two players at ADP and you picked wrong. And that is a tough one to swallow right there. So some will be easy. Some will be injuries, like whatever. It's a simple deal. So it's good to look back at it and kind of get an idea. And I know when we get to certain positions, like I know pitching, well, in just general, the first like round or two rounds have been for the most part trash, period. So it makes things really interesting. Going,
just pitching or across the board?
Just in general. Yeah, the top two rounds have just been trash. So it does change things up a bit, but it's nice to look back, see your teams at, see why, maybe see what else we can do to maybe change things. They might have, if you're on the NFBC, it's the last couple of years, they've done those mid-season gladiators. Maybe something to keep in mind when you look at these midterm drafts. And Fernando Tatis Jr. has left the building, folks, for number three on the season.
He's moving up. We may discuss him. I was a little surprised at Fernando Tatis, actually, but... just hit his third homer.
Jeez Louise, there's hope.
Do you know, is NFBC doing those mid-year drafts? Have you heard anything?
Nothing's official. Last year was just gladiators. It wasn't actual like fab leagues. I wouldn't be shocked if they get some gladiators put out there, but they're so focused on football right now. Who knows what's going to happen? I think it'll take some people chirping in the NFBC Discord to make that happen, but we can all hold out hope if you are. I've never done them.
That would be fun though, like stuff. Do with people in the Discord, do a quick All-Star break gladiator. I didn't do one last year, but maybe we can chirp. I don't think we move the needle at all, but we can chirp.
I guarantee you now I feel like there's a challenge in place. If they start these, we will do a listener one, that's for sure. We're not the heavy hitters, but we have enough to pull that string in this one. Robbie Ray threw eight innings because Robbie Ray is going to Robbie Ray when I told everybody to not Robbie Ray anymore. That's good times. Let's talk about a little bit of news and notes before we talk about catchers, of course, and first base and maybe some others tonight. Mikel Garcia to the IL with a left hand muscle strain. A fun one here just for the fact that that's sarcasm, folks, that Mikel Garcia hurt his hand like last Thursday or Friday. Said it hurts on foul balls, but on regular contact, it feels fine. And then he missed like three games, and he came back and played Monday, and then he went on the IL on Tuesday. Always great stuff there. So what's your thoughts on this one, Ryan? Because at first it sounds like it's just a pain tolerance situation, so they're hoping, I guess, rest fixes this, but it might be a lingering situation.
Yeah, and it was weird just that Mikel Garcia was in the lineup on Monday. So, I obviously you put him in and then he's out, to which I vented about that in the Discord, and someone responded, well, he wasn't going to do anything for you anyway if he was playing. And a little bit of a Segura-type season for Mikel Garcia. 3 homers, 5 steals, and 294 plate appearances. Like, that's not great. He's hitting .261, which, sure, that's fine. But without the power speed juice, that's tough. So, seems like a pain tolerance thing. We talked about the quotes with Mikel Garcia last time. It's like, I don't know if this goes away. And I heavily wonder if this injury has been heavily influencing Mikel Garcia's stats so far this season as well. So this could be like, I don't know, man, not to say like drop or anything like that, but like this could be a lingering thing that just kind of tanks his season.
Yeah, no, it could definitely tank things, lingering, to your point. Another WBC takes a man down. Just joking, because he won the WBC on Team Venezuela. So plenty of action. He's one of the best hitters during that stretch as well. Yeah,
sorry to cut you off there, but anytime I can make fun of myself, I will. Do need to give a shout to Nick Lofton, who has, after I bagged him on the, I think, Thursday Fab show, he has tripled his home run total since then. So that's cool. And he'll be the third baseman, I think.
Yep, he should be the starting third baseman while Mikel's out. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see, because if it's rest and relaxation, you have to hope it heals, like it get re-aggravated pretty quickly. Does it eventually need surgery? We don't know all the answers yet, so something to keep in mind. But if he tries to keep playing through this, to Ryan's point, like in 12-team leagues, there's going to be a point this season where you decide if he's even worth rostering. It's the crazy part.
Yeah.
Cole Reagan sticking in Kansas City. They already got Vinny Pascantino out. They lost Mikel Garcia. Cole Reagans has been out for a while, and now they're saying he's going to have elbow surgery. They have not announced which type of elbow surgery yet. They're going to get another opinion on that before they decide. But with the amount of opinions as they've had on this one, Ryan, it usually leads to one destination, actually potentially two. Is it Dr. Meister or is it Dr. Reattach? that's your two destinations pretty much. And the rest is history for me.
And if you're sick and twisted like me, I actually care about that. I don't really, but I always get fired up when it's either Meister or Reattach. It's one of the two.
I want Reattach. At least gets the good steroids like the Dodgers get and bounce back. we're good to go. So
Reattach is my guy. Meister feels like, an up and comer who hasn't been through it all. I have no idea if that's true or not, but
like Reattach feels like the fancy, Beverly Hills plastic surgeon, or Dr. Meister feels like that weird, I don't know if you watch Futurama, like the mad scientist in Futurama. That's just kind of like, well, I know you haven't watched
take a guess, Bubba. What do you think?
Never mind, you haven't, but I guarantee the listeners have, so you'll know who I'm talking about there. And that's kind of where I was going with that. We'll see. Did you see Dr. Reattach got let off the hook by MLB after they investigated him? Like, he's clean.
To be up on this. What happened?
That happened today. He was under investigation for all the steroid allegations.
I knew that.
No, he got cleared today. I was like, shocker, a Dodgers guy get cleared again. I wonder who's Jordan Emmy in the frickin' clink for this one. That's what I want to know. But
glad to hear it. Glad to hear my guy's name has been cleared.
Yeah, because it was very entertaining. Yeah, and he probably did nothing wrong. I'm just being sarcastic, but it was very funny. When the allegations first came out, the list of players in all sports, even UFC, and everything that had been to Dr. Reattach, and it was very, very interesting to see the amount. And then thinking back of, wow, they did bounce back, especially like Tatis. That was interesting. I'm busted for steroids the next year. Stuff like that. So, yeah, always had to think about that. And like as Frank says in the chat, Nassim Nunez heating up. Yeah, maybe he saw Dr. Reattach. Who knows?
Nassim Nunez has been incredible lately. Incredible.
As BABIP luck has flipped completely, so ride it while it's hot. Edward Cabrera had to get carted off the field on Tuesday night with a hamstring injury. He's already been placed on the IL on Tuesday evening. He'll undergo further testing to determine the severity of the injury. If it's not a blister, it's not a hand cramp, now it's a hamstring, it's just something with Edward Cabrera, Ryan. So a big break here, and this Cubs rotation is weirdly gives Mr. Facade some job security.
Yep, the Facade gets more job security. I think Matthew Boyd is
he's back this week. Soon? Yes, okay. He's back this week.
So we at least have that. But yeah, the facade, you know, can do no wrong. He stays in the rotation and has actually pitched semi-decent lately. I hate to say it, but I don't know. Some of it's been against your Giants, so who knows? But yeah, Javier Assad gets longer run. Edward Cabrera, man, just that just a frustrating, not even season, but like career. It's just like,
yep.
Guy just cannot stay healthy.
Yep. Talent, I think most can agree. Talent is very, very strong with that one, but the results have not been. Jack Leiter was placed on the IL with an ankle injury. He had ankle surgery on Tuesday. He'll be out till at least August with said surgery, maybe longer, probably should be out longer just to get everything figured out. But I just mentioned that because we talked like on the last Fab show, you could probably get ready to drop Jack Leiter if you wanted to. Now you definitely can. And there's no replacement in Texas. So I'll be very honest. I'm not even going to try to. I broke it down partially for PT tomorrow because there's nothing else to do in Texas, but it's not worth really getting excited about.
You're not putting Cal Quantrill in the waterfall for it.
He was the opener. Cornell is the main option there. He was okay tonight. He's had mixed reviews in the minors. They assigned Marco Gonzalez to a minor league contract, if that does anything for you.
Yeah, Pacific Northwest legend, Gonzaga. Exactly.
They had Gomber at one point, and they released him. Like, they just keep recycling from the bottom of the trash pile. Yeah. And we'll see. Like, Cornell's the one, I guess, keep an eye on if he keeps working in this follower role. I don't think Quantrill like will ever be stretched. He's thrown no more than 3 1/3 innings so far in an outing this year.
Yeah, and it is.
It's not great.
Quantrill. Even this Cornell fella,
it's not special.
No, AAA numbers very bad. 7% K minus walk. You gotta. I want to see something in the majors, and before I even think about it,
follower. They have nothing in the minors. It's dreadful. Like bad, beyond bad. They need to trade like as many guys as possible and just take shots on pitching right now.
Kumar Rocker, though, your boy. Give him an opener, right?
Dude, they did it the one time. It was awesome. Then they didn't do it. And he almost gets demoted. Then they do it. He's awesome. Like, I'm not a rocket scientist here. I'm more of an Elitrash, not a Meister. But yeah, you should probably do that. All right, and then last but not least, just for you, I had to put this in here. Your boy Nick Lodolo left Tuesday start with a wrist contusion. X-rays were negative. Tito Francona says if swelling goes down, he should be fine for his next start.
Which you probably don't want to start anyway. It's just we talked about Lodolo, I think on our last Tuesday Bloomboard show, last 30 day pitchers. And it's just, he's not the same guy. My theory is it's the blister that has affected his slider, but it's whatever it is. Nick Lodolo is not the same guy. And this certainly doesn't help another wrist injury.
No, it does not. But with that being said, let's start our mid-season recaps, however you want to phrase this. And we'll start with the best position in baseball, the catching position. And I say that tongue-in-cheek from my narrative streak, but if you really look at it, they have a lot of guys in the top 20 at the position, weirdly enough. And most of them don't exist in this chart, which is funny. But before we get started, let our listeners know what we're looking at if you're on the screen.
Okay, yeah. So, and if you're on audio, I'll walk you through it here. But basically what we're looking at is the top 30, and this will be the same for every position. We'll do more outfielders and starting pitchers than position players, of course. But we're looking at the top 30 players at each position ordered by their preseason draft ADP. And this ADP is in NFBC main event leagues, 15 teamers. So these were all picks in like late March. And so that's what this list is ordered by. So we've got 15 players on each side of the board here. We've got their preseason ADP. And then next to that is their year-to-date rank, both overall and at the position. And those two are color-coded. Overall is from the Fangraphs. Well, both of them are from the Fangraphs player rater. With catcher, not to go too far off on a valuation diatribe, there's a catcher adjustment, and that depending on how much you adjust for catchers, it can kind of mess with how they're ranked overall. But we also have the ranking by position as well. So you can just kind of get a feel for within each position how they've done. So that's it. I didn't do kind of detailed stats. This is more kind of designed as us to given a high level kind of summary of the position. Maybe we'll dive into a couple guys, as we see fit, but more so just kind of looking at general trends on how we did drafting. And then we'll also mention at the end of each position, I will mention the breakouts at each position. And a breakout is anyone who is not on the board, drafted outside the top 30, who finished, is roughly in the top 15 at the position halfway through the year.
All right, let's kick it off here. We'll try to fly through these as quick as possible. But the big dumper, obviously, was injured for a chunk of the season. But other than that, it's still been a rough go for the big dumper. He was the 23rd pick off the board in March drafts. Currently the 363rd player on the player rater, 31st at the position. Technically wouldn't even want to be rostered in a 15-team two-catcher league. He's obviously rostered, folks, but you don't need to. He did go deep on Tuesday night. That's a good thing. But 164 batting average, Ryan. 8 home runs and 2 steals after tonight. Striking out over 30% of the time. It's to say it's been bad is putting it mildly.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know, maybe it's my homerism, but I do think, I mean, Raleigh went on the IL with a side injury, and that was bothering him for quite a while before the IL stint. I'm not saying this, you know, makes anyone feel better who took Cal Raleigh, that as we've said often lately on the show, the damage has been done. I think Cal Raleigh could still be in for a very good second half, assuming the time off from the IL. It just came back a few days ago, I think on Friday. A couple days ago, but I hopefully that time off means Cal Raleigh's healthy and can get back to being somewhat of, you know, the version he was last year. The double whammy here is not only has Cal Raleigh sucked at an ADP of 23, look at the 5 catchers that all went after him. They have all been top 8 catchers at the position this season overall. So like, it's just funny, like paying up for catcher so far has worked out very well, unless you paid for Cal Raleigh.
And that's where I was going to go with this. It's you got a pocket now of 5 catchers with Bengaliers, King William, Benjamin Rice, who is the 2nd overall player in the fantasy game right now.
Yeah.
Hunter Goodman. So even though he strikes out a ton, he's just dropping bombs everywhere. And Drake Baldwin, who missed time on the IL, has come back and hit 1 home run and struck out like 15 times. Still the 30th player in the game. So as Ryan mentioned, you got Bengaliers is 12th, Contreras 26th, Rice 2nd, Goodman 14th, Baldwin 30th. That's overall, and that's 27148 at the position. So all in the top 8 at the position, as Ryan mentioned, and all in the top 30 in all of baseball, which is pretty dang impressive. Winning an ADP of 50 to 73, so anywhere from round 4 to round like 6-ish, give or take. These guys all went off the board. So if you at least got one of them in that time, or you double tapped, you're feeling real happy about life. But and I guess the last takeaway I have before I hand it off is batting average is kind of inconsistent in this range, but they're all hitting for power. All of them are hitting for a ton of power, which as we go through more of the catching position does not exist.
Agreed. And I even want to hammer the point home even more of just how like game changing Ben Rice has been. I mean, number 2 overall. And again, some of that is a catcher adjustment, but Ben Rice has earned it. He's the number 1 catcher, but on both player raters too. So it's not just like a Fangraphs. I also double checked it with Razzball's player rater, and Ben Rice is the top hitter there. So only Jacob Mizorowski is the top overall player. So I just want to highlight how good Ben Rice has been, how much of a game changing that pick has been. And to a somewhat lesser extent, but still big time, was Shea Langeliers and Hunter Goodman, who are 12th and 14th overall, to get a catcher. And some folks try to double up there to get a catcher that good at pick 50, pick 72 is pretty damn incredible. The last thing I'll mention here is just kind of a general trend for catchers. Most of these guys in this pocket that have delivered, they're pretty young, right? William Contreras is the elder statesman here of this cohort, but Langeliers, Rice, Goodman, Baldwin, kind of a pretty sweet youth movement at your favorite position. Your favorite position, Bubba, is in good hands. I know Ben Rice will probably move off the position, but still nice to see this youth movement go on at the top here with catchers.
Yep, and that's been one of the talking points in the last few seasons. And we have a couple more youngins on the right side of this board that we'll discuss. Like, it's a very solid position, and there's more to come. I hate to break it to people. It's going to keep getting better. But speaking of young, let's talk old. And Salvador Perez is catching up. He's 36 years old. We talked about it in the preseason. It's like, okay, when's father time going to catch up? Because otherwise it's consistent, like 25-plus home runs. He's going to hit you 255-ish. Like, you kind of know what you're going to – and more importantly, he's going to play 140-plus games. That's what you're looking at. He's still playing a ton. But Salvador Perez is hitting 206 with 10 jacks so far this season. And he was the 91st player off the board, 208th overall right now, 18th at the position. So, honestly, 18th, that's still a solid catcher too. So maybe that's detriment to the position if you want to. And, again, you can't. It's not all created equal. I saw Ryan kind of like, yeah, I don't know. But he's played pretty well. He's a solid catcher too, but you didn't draft him as a catcher too.
That's why I'm shaking my head. Yes, I agree. ADP 91
is not a catcher too. Right. So
he has been like a solid
production
catcher,
is, but
yeah, that's not what you want from a top 100 pick.
Given I took him as a second catcher at a few places, so like I'm living with it. It's not crushing me, so that works.
Yep. It just doubly stings because I know Perez was going a little bit after the Goodman Baldwin Rice group, but not too far, a round or two discount, and it turned out to be narrator. It was not a discount. Salvador Perez. As we go further down, we have to talk about the Goose. We talked about the youth movement at catcher. Agustin Ramirez was the exception to that rule so far for these younger catchers in the top 100 that are paying off. I don't know, man. It's I feel like he got sent down pretty quick, and I just don't know when we see Agustin Ramirez again.
And that's why I dropped him pretty much right away. I said the fact they don't want him because of his defense, there's like nowhere to go because Joe Mack plays defense. So, and they're not working him at first base. So I don't know when we see Goose again.
I mean, is there any takeaway that you would have from that? Like, I guess my biggest thing especially with catcher is if the defense is so bad, the leash is shorter just in terms of playing time or maybe getting sent down. But like
that could be the case, but I think we all thought, okay, then play him at DH or first base, and they just didn't want. I know Liam Hicks kind of forced the hand. Like, I get it. He made it complicated there, but I don't know. It feels like they didn't get, like last year when he was up with the team, he caught and played DH a lot. And this year it didn't get that opportunity. So maybe there's something to it. He doesn't play good defense. Maybe watch out for it. But at the same time, it's like, if he hits, we're not having this discussion right now.
Yeah, agreed.
Like they would have found a place for him. And he just didn't hit. He's not hitting right now in AAA. So that's part of the problem. Will Smith, Yainer Diaz, injured a lot of this season and just kind of blah overall. Yainer came back and went deep. Will Smith's neck injury is worse than expected. That's been a bizarre one this whole time. But let's talk about the Orioles. This was one of the tough ones in draft season, because it's like, I like them both at their price, but I don't want either one because I don't know how the playing time is going to shake out. Well, Baltimore's playing both of them pretty much every single day, which has really screwed things up for me, but been great for those who took their chance. Sammy Basayo, ADP of 151. Adley Rutschman, ADP of 158. Basayo's the 98th player on the player radar, the 11th catcher. Rutschman's the 93rd player, the 10th catcher. That's pretty sweet if you sat there and played that game. Basayo's hitting 253 with 10 jacks. So he's been better than Perez, of course. And Rutschman, 254, 8 jacks. He's currently on the concussion IL. But the fact they're both playing, they're both worth the pick, and it's been quite entertaining.
Yeah, that's one of the notes I had here when I was looking at this board, this afternoon, this evening, was it's just interesting. It was interesting to see Basayo and Rutschman going next to each other all draft season, and look at that. They're right next to each other so far in year-to-date rank. It hasn't been, breakout in 10th and 11th at the position, respectively. But you're shooting par with that. And shooting par is always a good thing. But, yeah, the playing time concerns that I know I had entering the season, like both. I mean, as injuries aside, like you said, Adley's on the concussion IL right now. But both pretty much on pace for, like, 500 plate appearances. So yep. Baltimore made it work. You're not going to get the mega plate appearance totals like Cal Raleigh had 700 last season. You get some of these guys that can DH all the time. You get that. But still, you can, if you give those guys 500 plate appearances each, they can do some things, especially Basayo. I think Basayo's going to be a monster.
Well, that's one thing I even said during the preseason. If I had to pick one, I want Basayo. I just don't have the playing time. Like, I think that hit tool is ridiculous. So, seems pretty obvious so far. And I think he's still pretty raw up there too. Very green. But the one thing that he scares me about is he loves the play no matter what. And that's a good thing, but not a catcher, because he's hurt a lot. And he flat out tells the manager, talks about it. Like, they want to get him a day off or DH him. He's like, no, I'm catching. Especially when Adley's been out. Like, he's fighting basically to stay in the game. It's like, buddy, you have a hand issue, a rib issue. Like, he's got like four different things going on. And so I guess what I would say is just be cautious of what the second half looks like from Basayo. Because we see that with a lot of catchers in general. They just die off because they're working their butts off. If he's battling injuries in the second half, it could get interesting.
So. Especially someone like Basayo who hasn't gone through the rigors of a full, MLB season yet. So, good point.
So I would keep that in mind. Like, if you're in a trades league and it's not a keeper, wouldn't be opposed to trading Sammy Basayo if you can right now. See what you can get out of him. I got nothing on Kirk and Alvarez. They were injured a ton, but I want to talk about, I got Goose wrong. I did say Carter Jensen could be your AL Rookie of the Year. I'm pretty sure I said that at some point in one of our early preseason shows, and it's been up and down, started out great, was rough. We're back, baby. ADP of 182, 68th on the player rater, 9th at the position. On the season is 244, 10-1. But entering Tuesday, he is on quite the heater right now. He's hit safely in every game since June 6th for a 365 average at 3 homers and 1 steal. He had the alarm clock incident, but then I also saw about 3 weeks ago, someone put a side-by-side. He changed his stance, and since then, he's been raking. So This is a young kid that keeps getting better, and I think the ceiling is extremely high for Mr. Carter Jensen.
Hitting .328 over the last 2 weeks, WRC plus of 156 over the last 2 weeks.
That'll play, and leads off a lot.
That'll play. I know that's nitpicking small samples, but it kind of bolsters your point about seeing some of those changes that Carter Jensen has made. The point I want to make here, and this is not to crap on Carter Jensen, though it may be construed that way, you are starting to see a fall off in production at the position. So Carter Jensen, what I mean by that, Carter Jensen is number 9 at the position right now for the Fangraphs player rater. 10 homers hitting .244 with a steal. Like, that's, it's fine, but that's a top 10 stat line in fantasy for catcher right now. So it's interesting to me, and you may disagree. We'll see. Like, a very sturdy, like, top tier and deep top tier of a lot of talent. I think we're starting to see a little bit of a fall off in terms of of tiers. And again, Jensen himself could ascend. I'm just saying Jensen's stat line of a .244 batting average with 10 homers, if that's the number 9 catcher, I don't know, starting to fall a little bit.
Well, let me put this to you. It's the lazy math, but let's say he finishes at a .245 with 10 homers and 80 RBIs. That's a hell of a stat line for a catcher. I mean, 20 home runs and 80 RBIs. Homers.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, so that's why he's probably ranked for you. Like, that's, as a catcher, this is a positional thing. Like, catchers, we don't expect many, we cannot be Cal Raleigh. And I think we're also, that top half is so different than the bottom half. Those top five guys we talked about. It's a massive difference. And we're going to talk about a couple more in a second. So
actually,
that'd be my argument for that.
The other thing with that, and I'm just looking at this now, but so, and again, this is maybe tough if you're not watching on YouTube, but Drake Baldwin is number 8 at catcher. He's number 30 overall in the player rater.
Yeah.
Carter Jensen's number 9 at catcher. Just one spot behind Drake Baldwin at the position.
There's your drop off.
But he's 68 overall compared to Baldwin's 30th. So that's quite the cliff.
Yes, that's more of a kind of conversation. The position, I think, is still very good. I think there's just a group of other players, because this is the overall, just overall hitters, correct?
Mm-mm.
Overall pitchers and hitters?
Everybody. Yep, everybody.
Okay, well, yeah.
Ben Rice is 2. So
that explains a lot then. So leaves room for a little gap there. I do want to give a hat tip to Gabby Moreno, because I just punk him each and every year. He's missed some time on the IL this year, but overall, like, the dude's hitting 275 with six jacks and, more importantly, four stolen bases. His career high is six steals, and his career high in home runs is nine. I've always been worried about his power. Health is 1,000% a concern with Moreno, like, all the time. What's going to happen? But the batting average is never the question. It's more the power, the speed, and the six homers and four steals is almost, like I said, career highs. We're halfway through the season. He's the 13th ranked at the position, which is pretty good. And again, to your Carter Jensen drop-off point, this is four catcher spots back, and we're almost doubled Carter Jensen at 116 overall. So it drops off even more as it goes down the list.
Yeah. Very nice season so far for Gabriel Moreno, even though, yeah, it is only six home runs for him. That's good, but it's also 13 barrels on those six homers. So that's just a nice, nice little power uptick for Moreno, and the power uptick has not come to any detriment to his plate skills, right? The K rate is exact same as we saw, 17% last season for Moreno, same with the swinging strike. So just stay healthy, man. Like, he's still not out of the woods, right? I mean, still only 200 plate appearances for Moreno. Still has never gotten to 400. Let's get to 400, Gabby, please.
That's always the problem with Moreno. So that's how he'll prove me wrong if he actually stays on the field. But then there's Ivan Herrera, who was util only to start the season, and was how long would it take to get catcher? Because we all knew he could rake, and he's doing just that. He's the 25th player on the play radar, sixth at the catcher position. Dude's hitting 263, 10 homers, and five steals at the position. Like, again, it was 19 homers, eight steals, 284 last year. We knew the offensive skills were awesome. And now he's going to be catcher eligible next year, too. He'll get to 20 if he isn't there already. So this guy is an absolute monster behind the plate. And the fact he doesn't have to catch every day but still plays every day is a massive boost to the situation.
Already 29 catcher games for Ivan Herrera, beautiful. So 47 DH. So this is the ideal scenario. This is someone who actually DHs more than plays catcher, yet still safely gets catcher eligibility consistently. So that's awesome. What was the final answer for Ivan Herrera? Like, when did he get? Because I did not draft Ivan Herrera at all. But
I want to say it was.
I want to say like early May.
Yeah, I was going to say the first week in May, second week in May, something like that.
So you had to DH him for a little over a month, maybe five lineup periods, something like that. But that's well worth the trade-off for, again, with the catcher.
It was April 24th.
April 24th. Okay. So even quicker than we thought. So you only had like 4 weeks where Ivan Herrera was here.
The first month of the year, you're good to go.
Wow. That is a windfall to not only get catcher eligibility that early, but to also get the production that we've seen. But I feel like we knew the production would be like this for Ivan Herrera, but we both really liked him. We just didn't know when the catcher eligibility would hit. But man, 25th overall player, Ivan Herrera, and was taken 199. Again, a lot of that is catcher adjustment, but that's a hell of a season so far for Herrera.
Then you got JTR, you got Logan Ohapi, both injured players, kind of a mess all around there. And then you get to the third catcher off on the player radar with an ADP of 239, like just back into drafts, 13th overall in baseball on the player radar. Dylan Dirk Dangler, Triple D himself,
Triple D,
is absolutely just mashing. It was a favorite target of mine in DC. He's got a couple fab shares, loved his price tag all draft season. 272, 18 home runs, 56 RBIs already. Just even heck, 41 runs scored. These things don't happen at the catching position. He's hitting like a first baseman right now, like Ben Rice. That's why I guess he's just not too far behind him at the moment. Dylan Dirk Dangler has been amazing. Not sure how long this goes on for. We saw little bits of it towards the end of last season when he started to play regularly. So another young gun that we'll be talking about for years to come, I think.
I think so. And I was mostly off of Dylan Dirk Dangler. We have to say the full name every time. Oh, yes.
Respect the man.
Because then it was a shoulder, some lingering shoulder issues.
That's why his ADP dropped. Yes.
And that worried me as well. And so obviously missed out on that, but 239 ADP, especially right after JTR and Logan Ohapi. Like, to get Dylan Dirk Dangler, to get that production when pretty much everyone around him, and we'll talk about, I mean, it's pretty much death after this.
It's bad.
This was a saver for your squad, because you pick anyone else in this range, pretty much. Ryan Jeffers is, you know, may have an argument, though he's out for a while. Any other pick in this range for catcher, you've been struggling to find a second catcher. So that makes this Dirk Dingler, pick even more important.
Yeah, it's been pretty great. And even like you mentioned, after Ohapi, after Ramiro Muto, a lot of people skipped on Herrera because they didn't want to play the utility game. So like, honestly, Dingler is probably one of the first options after Jensen or the Oriole twins. Like he was just kind of hanging out there. People would go early and wait. And that's why he was a catcher two guy and just fell because of the shoulder injury. Because like I said, early in draft season, loved me some Dirk. I almost feel like he's on my one gladiator team, honestly. But then I kind of just let things go as things went along. Other than that, you know, Austin Wells banged up. Jeffers was having a great start to the year. He's back from the IL like maybe next week, which would be a plus.
Because Ryan Jeffers, yeah, man,
he was probably like top five at one point.
He was, I believe, top three catcher. I think, yeah, we need to give Ryan Jeffers some flowers here, because he was, I remember writing him up for Baseball HQ, and yeah, I believe he was the number three catcher at the time. And of course, right after I wrote him up, when he got hurt. But Ryan Jeffers, and not only just the production, the skills for Ryan Jeffers were insane. So I it's great to hear that Jeffers could be back next week, could be in line for a huge second half, assuming he's healthy. Health has always been the issue with Ryan Jeffers, but do want to give a shout out there. Like, Ryan Jeffers looked to be right in the mix there with like Langoliers, but like Goodman, William Contreras, Drake Baldwin types. Like, he was that good before the injury.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how that he comes back from said injury. And then you got like Tyler Stevenson, who's been serviceable. Like, it's nothing special. He's never going to out. I don't know if he'll ever find that talent we thought he was. Kyle Teal fell off tremendously. Literally just came off the IL 2 days ago. So there's nothing we can do about that. And then it's Naylor, who's in AAA. Narvaez, dead. Caro, back to AAA. And then you got Carson Kelly. Caratini's alive because Jeffers on the IL. But Kyber Ruiz has been awesome. That's the only other guy I really care to talk about, unless there's anybody else you want to talk about. But Kyber Ruiz is the guy I had to like fight people on, because, oh God, they traded for this young catcher. What are they going to do with Kyber Ruiz? Yeah, Kyber Ruiz has been pretty good, Ryan. Like, God forbid he has a stomach virus and some other things that derailed him. He's hitting .282 with 6 jacks and 2 steals. That'll do just fine with an ADP of .404.
And hitting .288 in the best run scoring lineup in baseball. So, actually, I'm kind of surprised Ruiz only has 22 runs, 29 RBI, I guess.
Well, CJ Abrams drives them all in.
Yeah, and Ruiz only has 168 plate appearances, so that will hurt your counting stats. So the actual per plate appearance counting stats for Kiber Ruiz have been freaking awesome, and this is what we wanted. This is a guy who has always made a lot of contact over the last couple of years. It hasn't translated to good batting averages, and now it is. Power is always going to be pretty faint with Ruiz, but 8 barrels, 6 homers, that's fine. I don't really care. If you hit .280 plus as a catcher in that lineup, you're going to have some good numbers. So great pick, Kiber Ruiz. I know you were touting as a catcher 3.
Yep,
in, I have mostly draft and hold season.
Yep, I have a lot of catcher 3 Kiber Ruiz, and it's coming handy this year with all the injuries out there. That's for darn sure. And losing Goose, among other things. So Kyber has come in handy. Any closing thoughts on catcher before you release the breakouts at the position?
The grand reveal. No, I just think, yeah, no, I've already talked about it, so I won't repeat myself. The breakouts, really only 2 of them, and maybe really only 1 of them. Liam Hicks, right? We have to talk about Liam Hicks. He is the number 5 catcher on the Fangraphs player rater, and just I mean who saw this coming? Like what? Like, Mike, it wasn't Kerwin, even
apparently.
I actually have some Hicks on draft and old teams, and I have no idea why. I don't even remember researching him this past draft season. But .278 batting average, 13 home runs, 53 RBI for Liam Hicks. 40 runs scored. Like those counting stats have been awesome. Yes, on the IL at the moment. No, I don't think the power is at all sustainable. 10 barrels to those 13 home runs, only a 4.5% barrel rate. But whatever, man. You got Liam Hicks for nothing, and you have a top five catcher right now.
Then what else you got at the breakout position?
Dalton Rushing, and I put a question mark after him, but Dalton Rushing is 16th at the position. So do with that what you will. It's just the problem is the playing time, right? So Will Smith is out now with I don't know what the deal is with Will Smith's neck.
His neck. He was supposed to be back, like they thought he was on the IL. Then he goes on the IL. Then he's supposed to come back. Then he gets a shot in his neck. He's going to put him out for a week. And now they're saying he might not be out back for like 3 weeks. Like, it's weird. Like, really, really weird. Where I wonder if there's some nerve damage or something, which means he probably shouldn't catch right now. But, like, I don't know.
I have no idea. I mean, the big thing, though, is, like, I mean, Dalton Rushing has some runway now.
Right now.
Yeah, I know. But he's got runway.
No, I agree. He's like, if he could hit like the guy that only played once a week before, that'd be awesome. But that's what got him 16th at the position. But he's hitting like garbage right now. And then he's banged up. He's getting checked for concussions. So it might be Chucky Robinson coming your way.
Chucky. Rushing can't even break a bat over his own knee. I'm sure you saw that clip.
Yes, that's what a
hard to like. Hard to like.
That's where I was gonna go down a rabbit hole. And I was there like, have
been, I mean, this is the latest in a, and I will cover for you here as your Giants fan. I don't want you to get in too much trouble here, but it's been a long it's been a series of things with Dalton Rushing. I'll just say it makes him very much not likable outside of the LA area, but fantasy wise, I think he could be really good.
Last thing I have before we go to first base, from our buddy, Fantasy Baseball GT is it's SMMS, right?
It's Mark.
It's Mark. Yeah. Dude, why can't we have the real names back? This is freaking stupid. My Bengaliers Rice team is overall money territory. So, to the people that did take the catchers early, that has turned out to be a big thing, because the last thing I want to hammer home is those guys are all power guys, like we mentioned earlier. And like, you know, you when you prep for a draft, and Ryan, you guys do this with your sheets, is you need like X amount of production from each position. And sometimes you'll get more of it from, say, shortstop, so you can take a hit elsewhere. So some people try to do that, and then they'll take a weaker catcher too. If you go and get two big dogs early, it helps in a big, big way to with those positions. So that's part of the philosophy from two early catchers. And if you skipped on Raleigh and got the next five or two of the next five, it's paid out really nicely.
You are golden. So kudos, Mark/FantasyBaseballGT/MSSMS79Silent.
Yeah, I'm an idiot. All right, let's move to the first base position here. I don't know if we're gonna get the second base tonight because I like to talk, but let's move to first base. But maybe I won't talk so much because we're not at the catcher anymore.
Good. I think good conversation, and it's our show, so we'll keep doing that. Yeah.
All right. So same format as before, folks. Overall in the whole Fangraphs Player Rater, overall at the position at next to it, and then March ADP. Correct, Ryan. So same setup as before.
Same exact setup. Vastly different results. I will.
A lot of green. A lot of green.
This first base has been an absolute gold mine in fantasy baseball in 2026.
I'm shocked by this.
It is pretty much, there are five out of 30 players. Again, I'm describing this for the listeners. If this is up for the YouTube crowd, there are like five or six very light shades of rare steak red. Every other player is Oregon Duck green at first base. First base has been freaking awesome this season. The upper class has absolutely delivered. We'll talk about some of those guys. The first base 16 through 30, which we're showing on the right side of the board here, all but three of them have outperformed their ADP and done so by like at least 100 spots. It is absolutely crazy how good first base has been this season. I got a couple more things I could go on, but I'll let you process this. But first base is, man, a lot of green.
Yeah, I was surprised. I didn't look at the outline before the show, so it's been a busy day. And so when you pulled this board up, I was like, oh, I think that's not what you expect on a bloom board, period. You always expect it to get lighter green and more red as things go along. Like you mentioned, 16 through 30, they're all but three of them are in the top 133 overall. Like it's like you said, it's not even close.
And that there's last guy is Spencer Spencer Steer at 133. His ADP was 323. He's been awesome. Yeah. So
there's only five players outside the top 200 overall. There'd be six if you count Rafael. He's cocky. Rafael Devers is 193. But yeah, this is an awesome position. An awesome position where if you went early, you thrived. If you went late, you probably did just fine. There's waiver wire to discuss, like with some of these guys, because they've been added or dropped throughout the season. Not to mention a couple that you'll bring up on the breakout section. Yeah, first base has been great. People talk about third base being rough and corner infield, this and that, but first base has been a thing of beauty. And honestly, like, there's going to be a few names we won't even discuss tonight that have been called up recently that will probably be in this discussion. Like if Bryce Eldridge gets first base, Blaze Jordan just got first base. Like there's even more that are going to get added to this puzzle, is what I'm trying to say. So yeah, pretty sweet position when I think in draft season, Ryan, we were not excited about first base.
Yeah, and it's kind of it has turned out to where just like whatever you did at first base, it has worked. And not even to say like, okay, well then I should have waited.
Except I have a lot of Vinny P, so that did not work.
Yeah, I've got some you know, some Devers. Yeah, so you know, of course we hit some of the bad ones, but yeah, just across the board, the power at first base has been unbelievable this season. There are 10 first basemen right now with over 15 home runs. So that's at least a 30 home run pace. There are six first basemen on pace for 40 plus home runs. Ben Rice, Matt Olson, Murakami, Kurtz, Alonzo, Christian Walker. Of those, so
two of those are in the, two of those are 16 to 30, which is crazy.
Yes. And Murakami. Yeah. It's crazy. Of the 10 first basemen with on pace for 30 plus homers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 of them are hitting over 265. So it's not just power either. It's batting average and power. So it's, I don't know. You can slice and dice this a bunch of different ways, but, man, what a position.
Yeah, it's impressive. And we'll kind of, I don't think we have to go too deep on most of these guys because they're all just awesome. But like, I guess that, you know, right out the gate, similar to the catcher spot, if you took a chance on Vladito early, you get hosed on this one. 119 overall, 25th at the position, which is not bad, but definitely not what you paid for. It's been a combination of there's no power, and even the average isn't what you would hope for. But I think you knew that risk when you took Vladdy. That's one reason why we always kind of say, why is he going so high unless you are strictly playing batting average and getting power later? You need that from Vladdy, and you're not even getting all that right now is the problem. So. And you probably hope for a little more power. Like Vladdy's in the Tatis section of the life, which is not great. So, yeah, Vladdy's one of the few that's really crushing you out the gate.
And that is, I mean, similar thing with catcher. And if we took like you said at the top of the show, if we took a first couple rounds look, like it's just been brutal across the board first couple rounds. And we saw it with Cal Raleigh catcher earlier tonight, and now we see it with Vlad. And, of course, the double sting is, right, if you took Vlad, you probably didn't take Nick Kurtz. You didn't take Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso's been, you know, okay. But you didn't take Matt Olson. You didn't take Bryce Harper, all of whom who have vastly outperformed Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and all of whom went later and in some cases much later. So that's the double whammy with Vladdy this year.
Yep, agreed. And then you got Kurtz, who's just been a monster. Second at the position behind Ben Rice. Fifth overall, Bryce is second. So you got two first basemen in the top five overall at the position. Kurtz is not just doing it with the power. He gets on base. Like, I think it's like a 30-plus game streak he's on right now. Like, he does a little bit of everything. He still strikes out, but the dude does everything else. So he's awesome. I'm just going to group these together and you can roll. Pete Alonso, like you mentioned, has been great, but still good. I think he's got a big summer coming his way. He's slowly heating up. Ben Rice, we talked about. Matt Olson slowed down the last couple of weeks, but he's been on an absolute tear in Atlanta. And once again, playing every day, Ryan, hitting for power, doing what Matt Olson does. Harper's having a great year. He's been healthy. We're waiting for the IL stint that always screws his whole season up in a weird way. And then you got Freddie Freeman, who it's boring, but he's doing just enough, is what I would say.
Yeah, just enough. That's
Well, he's 16th of the position. Like, we just went through
five
guys in the top eight. Like, it's that's a drop off right there.
And also note, Freddie's a good example of this. Freddie Freeman's the number 72 overall player, and he's 16th at first base. That means there are there are 16 first basemen in the top 72 overall.
top five rounds, it was what you would put, like, and he was drafted 74th, so
it's crazy.
I
don't have too much to add on really any of these guys. I guess continue the slobber on Nick Kurtz. I just want to throw in the 7 steals he's chipped in.
Yeah,
like, you're on pace for 15 bags from Nick Kurtz there, and he doesn't even need to run that often. You mentioned the OBP streak for Nick Kurtz. It's a 439 OBP. Just unreal season. K rate hasn't improved at all, but I think you quickly have to learn here. Whatever. Take a 30% K rate with Nick Kurtz. Don't care how often he hits the ball or how hard he hits the ball. It doesn't really matter. Bryce Harper, he's been great, but yeah, you're just waiting for the inevitable IL stint. I hate to say that, but
that's what kept pushing his ADP down the last couple of years. It's just
skills were fine last year. Are still fine, but yeah.
Yeah, and then it gets into Devers sucks, and he's got an ego problem.
Let's do the deep dive on Rafael Devers, shall we?
How about we don't?
Patreon bonus?
That's got to be a not safe for work discussion. Because I told you off air, like, the things I wanted to type up that I just...
Yeah, we'll take it off. We'll load you up with a couple topos, and then we'll get going.
Yep. Naylor's been hurt. He's been okay, but he's obviously, we didn't think he'd match last year to begin with, that, like, especially stolen bases. He's running, though, so that's the crazy part, but he's been hurt. Vinny P struggled a lot early, was actually starting to hit well. Now he's out for 4 to 6 weeks. And then, ironically, one of the five guys not in the top 200 is a catcher in Salvi Perez. So in theory, there's four regular first basemen, not the top 200.
Good point. Great point. So
it's even crazier when you look at it. So I'll stop there before we get to at least another piece of green.
It's kind of funny. All the, the draft pockets episodes that we talked about for months leading up to the season. It's like, I like that pocket of, like, Harper, Freeman, Devers, Naylor. You don't have to pay the full price of all the guys who are now mashing. You can get these guys a little cheaper. And yeah, I've got a lot of Josh Naylor, got a lot of Freeman, got some Devers that I did not play that one right.
Most of us didn't. That's the top 91 picks in the draft, folks. Now we got outside the top 100. Soderstrom is surprising people. He was a 110th overall, 24th at the position. So is he living up to the ADP? Probably still not quite yet, but he's not hurting you with Soderstrom, but it's been a kind of tale of three seasons. It was a decent start, a rough go, but he's really picked it up. He's up to 245 with 13 home runs on the season. So that's a plus. Plus, it'll be heating up in Sacktown. Michael Busch, a disappointing first half. We talked about him on some Bloom boards recently. He was a second half player last year, so keep that in mind. Jack Kags is heating up. He's going to go through the roof. Like, this, that's one of the guys when I started the show saying, we're probably talking about these guys differently in the second half. Jack Kags is literally destroying baseball. So you know what? I'm going to give you a hat tip because you like to say you're having a rough year with this, that year. You've been sticking firm on Jack Kags even this season, like stick with him. That one is panning out for those that did. And the last thing I'll mention before I hand it back off, Yandy Diaz, ADP of 147, 36th overall, 6th at the position. So we had like five guys in the top eight that went ADP 24 through 63. Now you dropped 80 picks essentially, and you get a top 6 first baseman. And the thing with Yandy is we always thought batting average. Will the power be there? Well, folks, he's got 12 jacks in the year while hitting 324 with 50 RBIs. So yeah. I'd say so.
And that's the thing. It's not only just like a good batting average for Yandy Diaz. 324 is like, that's so much better than elite. That is game changing in that category. So that's one who's kind of slipped under the radar for me is Yandy Diaz. Just don't have much of him. Did not realize he has been this good. The number 6 first baseman coming off a season where he's kind of doing the exact same thing that he did last year. Last year we thought, it was Steinbrenner Field going back to the Trop. Maybe there's some fall off there, but man, K rate's down to 13% for Yandy Diaz. Like that continues to improve while still holding pretty much league average power. And if you get a 300 batting average, 300 plus batting average with league average power, that is a damn good combination. So kudos to Yandy Diaz, who is following up last season's breakout by doing the exact same thing.
Now we go to 16 through 30, where it's just another sea of green, almost greener than the first 15.
It's people. Unreal, man. Yeah, this group is, yeah.
So I'll just do the next four, going from ADP 157 to 205. Sal Stewart's ninth in the position, 41th overall, 41st, and he's kind of slowed down, so that's a lot due to a hot start. Wilson Contreras just doesn't age, apparently, 57th overall, 13th in the position. Barrelson has been awesome. He's just getting better each and every week, it feels like. 37th overall, 7th at the position. And then he got Jonathan Aranda, another Tampa Bay Ray. He went 60 picks after his teammate, and he is 17th at the position due to his power and average. But I do want to highlight, literally, from pick 157 to 205, we got two more in the top 10, which is crazy to think about. And Barrelson, the way he's swinging the bat right now, like we talked about, he's doing his best. Yandy Diaz is the best, is what I'll say, and he's one spot behind Diaz. But after Tuesday night game, he's hitting 288, 13 homers and two steals, and that 288 is bolstered by the past like 3 to 4 weeks of production.
Yeah, he's been incredible, and to me that's pretty surprising to me. I did not know Alec Barrel's season had this in him. I thought he was kind of a safe, you know, floor play, but a low ceiling. Did not expect this. So kudos to the Burleson folks out there. Sal Stewart is the one. Yeah, it's just an interesting one. Like, it's seven homers and seven steals in April, nine homers and seven steals through April, I guess I should say. Has slowed down a little bit, but still in May, like three homers, three steals, hit 240. Like, that's not awful. Striking out a little bit more as pitchers adjust to Sal Stewart, but I still think he's startable, and you bake in, you know, what he did the first month of the season, that's how you have a top 50 overall player. So Sal Stewart's someone who was rising up boards late in draft season and has been more than worth that cost.
Then you got Torkelson, who most would like to throw into the sun. Yeah. He just has not had it. Then you got Murakami and Walker, pick 233 and 235. And like a lot of us were thinking, okay, Walker's got to bounce back. That was a rough season. He had 62nd overall, 14th at the position. Murakami, on the other hand, I mean, you were like, okay, tons of power, a swing and miss is going to kill him. Well, he's 71st overall, 15th at the position. That's by missing the last 3 weeks right now. Like, he was probably top 10 if we would have got him pre-injury, because he, yes, a lot of swing and miss, but the average and the power is on point with Murakami, who has done nothing but impress.
Yeah, and the swing and miss, I mean, has been as advertised. It's a 32.5% K rate. I mean, that's very high, but given how hard he hits it, 58% hard hit rate. That is unbelievably hard to do. So Murakami, if you would have said before the season, you take a 240 batting average, which is where he's at right now, I think you'd sign up for that. And then, of course, those 20 homers are gravy. So excellent, excellent season for Murakami. Christian Walker, I know the olds are getting beat up this season. The olds are getting beat up in the streets, and Christian Walker, he may have a sore back from carrying the reputation of the olds, because this has been a vintage season for Christian Walker. This has been very good. 62 overall and 14th of the position. Again, stating those two numbers back to back is just crazy. Top 62 players this year, 14 of them are first basemen.
Yep, it's wild to discuss, but then this is where I think you really start to make your money at the position. Yeah, Walker and Murakami were post 200 here, but like you're in corner infield land, or you punted first base, which some people thought about doing as well.
Yep.
So you go to like, you start falling, and you're thinking like Walker kind of felt like that cliff in most drafts that you take the chance on. But then you got Jake Berger and Luis Garcia Jr. One went at 235 and Berger. Garcia went 20 picks later at 256. Berger's 102. Garcia 105 overall, 20th and 21st in the position. I just want to highlight, it's impressive. Berger, 13 homers, 251. He's almost back on track for that 23-24 season we discussed in previous preseason pods with him. And then there's Luis Garcia Jr., who a lot of us are like, what do we do with him? We don't want him to play versus lefties, play only versus righties. And they've done that a lot. He's getting a few at-bats, Ryan, but they've really made a point to, you're sitting versus lefties and only starting versus righties. And after Tuesday, 262, 12 homers, 48 RBIs with two stolen bases. Like, both these guys have been outstanding. And Garcia's got first base, second base to top it off.
Yeah, 48 RBI, you said, for Luis Garcia? Yes. That is, man. Again, Nationals. They are.
Yes, Nationals, baby.
They are a they are beasts. And, yeah, Luis Garcia. So, that's, I mean, that maybe that is a takeaway. That's just if you're platoon, like, whatever at pick 250. As long as you're yes. this good against righties, who the hell cares if you either don't play well or sit against lefties? At the end of the day, the production's there, and it has been there for Luis Garcia Jr. I do want to hate to do it, man. Throw a little cold water on Jake Berger. Lowest barrel rate of his career. It's 9.5%.
Yeah, Ben did this to me the other day too. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm gonna join Ben in this. Power is well down from Jake Berger's normal, and the K rate's just as bad as it. You know, actually, it's the worst it's been in 3 years. So, good first half for Jake Berger. Let's again. This pains me. Love my Bubba Burgers, but little over his head right now, I think.
No, it's fine. It's totally fine. Like I said, I didn't expect him to put together this well. Like, I didn't have as many shares that I've had in recent years because I was skeptical of just the health in general, the multiple oblique injuries in the past. But right now you're getting 251 and 13, and you're pretty happy with life on that one. Kyle Manzardo and Andrew Vaughn have both struggled. They're two of the worst. They are the two worst on this top 30, 318 and 415 respectively, 46 and 52nd at the position. I will say Manzardo has heated up over the last month, playing primarily versus right-handed pitching, gets his lefty starts, but hitting righties really well, and Vaughn missed a ton of time on the IL. I'm not sure if you have anything on them.
No, I was going to say, I think Vaughn, didn't he get hurt like on opening day?
Pretty close to that, yes. He was out for a long time.
So pretty much a throwaway, which sucks because you took Manzardo and Vaughn. We just talked about Berger, Luis Garcia, Murakami, Walker right ahead of him. There's four really good guys right after them too. So a little bit of just unfortunate with Andrew Vaughn, though. Admittedly, he hasn't really played well since. He came back on May 4th. After getting hurt on opening day,
and it's been a slow go.
It's been two homers. He's hitting 349, but only 125 played. Yeah, he doesn't have the playing time to make an impact with it. Yeah, so agreed.
And then last bit, Miguel Vargas continues to just annihilate baseballs. 11th at the position, 43rd overall. He is probably the steal at this position outside of the breakouts you will discuss. Luis Urias is 18th at the position, hitting for an insane average, a little bit of pop and speed as well, but I really appreciate actually watching him every day to how good he really is at the plate. It's impressive. And then one guy that I remember getting heckled on a live stream with my co-host, and that is Ryan O'Hearn, an ADP of 288, probably like $2 in an auction or something. Yeah. He's 106th overall, almost a top 100 player, Ryan O'Hearn. He's 22nd at the position. Just want to highlight real quick that Ryan O'Hearn on the season is hitting 274 with 11 home runs and 41 RBIs in 63 games because he missed that little time on the IL. So I'd say well worth the ADP on that one.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that backward-looking analysis that you would be correct in your love of Ryan O'Hearn before the season. So I hope that makes you happy, Bubba. I always want you to be happy. So
I'll let you talk about Spencer Steer then to make you happy.
I mean, I don't really care about Spencer Steer, so it doesn't make me happy. I don't know.
No, you mentioned him earlier, so I was giving him to you.
In a season for the Reds that has been just absolutely atrocious, Spencer Steer has been a light. 13% barrel rate for Spencer Steer. Like, the power has taken a major, major step forward to the point where, like, he's only got 12 homers on 26 barrels in Great American Small Park. You could argue Spencer Steer has deserved upper teens home run totals. Hitting 237, like, that's not great, but power is very nice to see with Spencer Steer. Wish he would run a little more. Only three bags. Don't think we're going to see that 25 stolen base season that we saw 2 years ago from Spencer Steer, but still. And again, you can play in different spots. A lot of these guys play different spots. That's maybe the learning is that, you know, we should have drafted six first base eligible players this season, put them in outfield, second base, whatever, and you're golden, because again, this position's nuts.
not going to say who your breakouts are, but let's just say I have both of them. Probably Luis Garcia. Like, I have multiple first basements, to your point, on a lot of my rosters. So, yes.
Yeah. Breakouts. The breakout to me, just completely out of nowhere, your boy, Casey Schmidt, is 10th. And I know I'm assuming we're not going to get to second base tonight, given how far we're in. But Casey Schmidt is the number third second baseman. He's the number 10 first baseman. So, again, just another kind of data point. How good this is. Casey Schmidt, I'll let you kind of talk about him, but breakout at 10. And then another one of your guys that I crapped on, Jake Bowers, number 12 at first base. So I cede the floor.
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped on both of these, honestly. When it comes down to Casey Schmidt, I think one of the biggest things for him that derailed people in draft season is he had the hand injury during draft season, and people were kind of hesitant on that one. That obviously has been cleared up and fine, and he's eligible everywhere, which is huge. And the powers looked even better. He's even running, so a lot to do there. But Jake Bowers, I talked about him in the preseason as like late round DC targets when we were doing different shows, just because of the flexibility that when he does play, like he's shown. You know, double digit power and speed, and he's getting that run right now, and he's getting plenty of it, and he's not disappointing. So big fan of both of these. I got a lot of Jake Bowers, like the first fab period, a lot of Jake Bowers, and he has not left my lineups very often. So that's been a beautiful, beautiful situation.
I remember clowning you for that one too. I definitely you weren't alone. Remember that one. I thought the guy was washed, dude.
I just thought he was like, I got him everywhere. I was happy, but I'm like, oh crap, I overpaid like everywhere. This is bad. Like, and I'm not talking like Matt, I'm like, it's like 35-3 stuff. Like, so it's not like it was $100-something, but I'm sitting there going, okay, I'm in the Vegas AC. It's like my first guy I picked up. No one wanted him. What the hell is going on here? Like, this is horrible. Like, everything's going through my head. And I'm like, he's probably been like one of my best players for this season. So it's pretty entertaining stuff there.
Yeah, just want to drive home the Casey Schmidt, just the value of him doing all this when being eligible at first base, second base, third base, and outfield, like for draft and hold. It's just massive, and in fab leagues.
Yeah, I'm glad we're talking about him, because I think it was a week or two ago on one of our Bloom Board shows when I had the player rated up. I remember we had him, and we're like second base, third. We just looked at all the positions. It's like Jesus, like he's like top 10 to 15 in every single position.
It's should have, coulda, woulda, but that's mascot material right there. Casey Schmidt
still can be. He gained like two of those positions this season, so he wasn't full on mascot until now. So that's possible, and I think he'll carry a lot of that over next year, weirdly enough.
Yeah, Schmidt started at second and third only.
Second and third, and they played first base to start the year.
Yep, and picked up outfield too. So.
Yeah, he's going to be widely available. Like, yeah, it'll be good. All right, we'll stop there. We'll start with second base next week, try to get second, short, and third, try to bang them out for everybody as best we can. But we don't want to rush too much. We want to try to cover it all here. So final thoughts on first and second before we hit some listener questions up.
Now let's do a pretty robust set of listener questions.
Okay, I got one from the chat here. Frank says, with Francisco Lindor potentially coming back, who would you drop, Trey Turner and Aseem Nunez? That is easy.
Oh, that's a good problem to have. I would drop Nunez.
I would drop Nunez as well. And then he asked for Carter Jensen rest of the season. Yeah, just play him.
Or try and trade Nunez if you can right now. I don't know. But, yeah, I'd hold on to Turner there.
That's a great point as well. All right, from the old Discord here, let's see what we got here from Mr. Bloom. There it is. Ben Ted says the fact that Goose is still a catcher 2 and 15 is hilarious. Yeah, that is funny if you look at it that way.
Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, it's hilarious. The funny thing is Ben still has a share. He dropped his last share this past week. So that's probably why he's even more bitter about it. He was stashing three catchers for a while, hoping Goose would get recalled. Canton Dog says, who are the third ranked first base and second? Okay, we'll talk. Who are the third ranked first basemans? No one is listed as third in those two boards. What?
That's good. Someone's third. Dylan Dingler's third at catcher. I showed first and second in the Discord. Apologies.
Yeah.
The number three. Who the hell is the number three first baseman?
It's Yeah, he's not on the list. That's probably why he's asking.
Oh, it's Liam Hicks. Sorry, it's Liam Hicks because catcher eligible. Liam Hicks is the number three first baseman.
So oh, Jesus.
I did not include him in the breakouts because we talked about him as a breakout catcher. So Liam Hicks is the number three first baseman. Yeah, that's just bonkers. And what was his other question?
It's about second base. We'll get to that. It's probably Casey Schmidt. Yeah, I'm just guessing it's Casey Schmidt.
Yep.
Mailman Mike says the bus driver is making a case for a better ride. That's a second base thing. Anyone on the above list that you list you think can push to finish at a top five at their position? So what you have a catcher and a first base you think can finish top five. That's not there right now.
That's not there right now. That's a good.
I'd say they got to be at least outside of the top 10. Let's make it fair.
Yeah, outside of top 10, I can push top five. I will say Miguel Vargas, a catcher, right, first base. And I don't have the catcher board up. So who's your first baseman?
My first would be, I like the Vargas call. That's totally good. I'll say a healthy Murakami in the second half.
Catcher, I will say Ryan Jeffers. If Ryan Jeffers is healthy in the second half, he could push top five. I think he's that good.
Yeah, Jeffers makes the most sense. I'll say Gabby Moreno, if he's going to stay healthy. He's got the skills to be a top five catcher. So top five catcher is just tough, though, because you got to have the power. Jeffers has the power, unlike Gabby. Smokey Joe says, guess the market was right on Basayo and Adley. Zero shares yet. We lamented on that as well. John Wilder says, hello, friends. I come in peace. That's been great to you.
That's good to know. Nice to me. Yeah. I'm always on edge when this guy shows up here.
So right now we got Cags at 30th at the position, 137 overall. John Wilder says, where does Cags end at first base? Dude is on fire. Now that's – dude, he could finish top five the way he's hitting. That's a hell of a jump, but good Lord, he's doing. Yeah. He's got to be top 10, I'd say.
Top fives, that's too much of a hill to climb.
It's too crowded.
But I mean, Jack Cags double dong today, so he's already above 30.
He's got like six in the last four games. It's insane what he's doing.
Since I made this board. So Jack Cags could flirt with top 15 for the whole season, which would mean rest of season Jack Cags is could be a top. I'll say top 10 first baseman. First base is so good that, well, if you remove the catchers, maybe Jack Cags could be top five first baseman.
Yeah, I'll say Jack Cags is top 10 by the end of the season. I'll go there
for the full year. For the full year.
Wow. Yeah, we'll go wild here because I think there's some guys that are going to take a little slump coming their direction. That's a second base question. We'll save that for next week, Alex. Sonics is in Anaheim at the Angels game. Says Bubba, I could not find their Gifa, but I found these at the Big A. What should I do? Please advise the Topo Chico stand. Our buddy SMMS Silent 79 says second base. We'll talk that later. Andy Splinter says, who's the most surprising halfway point star? We all knew Otto was good, but number one catcher,
number one second baseman.
Number six first baseman, Dingler 13 overall. So he's just like most surprising is most what surprising. Who do you think our most surprising one is?
For me, it's I'll say two things. For me, it's Liam Hicks, and then it's also Ben Rice being the best hitter in fantasy baseball this year.
Yeah, Dingler's pretty impressive to be that good. But for me, besides, I guess, Ben Rice being just an absolute monster, I'll echo what we said earlier. Casey Schmidt is just 10th at first, 3rd at second, and so on and so forth. That is beyond impressive to me. And then just another hat tip to Yandy Diaz, man. Like, he just continues to do it year after year. And I finally took a – that's where I love auctions. Like, I finally – in the middle of a draft, I was patient. And I'm like, okay, I'll take a Yandy for regularly cheap. And that team's doing well, surprisingly. So, you have to learn the hard way sometimes. SMMS Silent 79 says, Gabe Moreno injured and still showing some green. Feel like there's a second half upside there, especially in deep leagues. Fully agree. We already named some players we think will keep it up. Steve Stout wants to know two players to keep it up, two that will regress. So we named people in the top 10. Who are two that you think fall out?
I will say Alec Burleson falls out of the top 10 at first base. He's 7th right now. And then let me look at catcher. You have a first baseman.
Say Bryce Harper.
Yeah, that's fair.
Catcher for me outside the top 10. Baldwin's working on it pretty hard right now. That's tough. I like the top 10 catchers. I guess if anybody has to fall, it'll be one of the Orioles guys. Maybe Adley because he keeps getting hurt.
I would echo Baldwin. If he's not right post-IL, that could tumble quick.
Yep. And that'll do it. That's the last of the questions there. We got a couple second base ones we will save for the next recording, which will be a we'll talk about that later on Thursday. So that'll do it for catcher and first base midterm review. JD Bull says, hey, Bubba, you're our guy, but even Dikembe Mutombo laughed at Devers from heaven. What a tool. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I like that. Any final thoughts before we wrap things up here? Week 15 Fab preview coming up on Thursday.
Back to Fab on Thursday, but yeah, I enjoy these midterms. We'll chug through the rest of the infield next Tuesday.
Yeah, when we get to this has been too green, is what I'll say. We're gonna get to some reds.
There's got to be it's a zero sum game. There's got to be some reds.
Exactly. So. The middle infield, I think, is going to bring some thunder to this fight here in a little bit. And then starting pitching will as well. Starting pitching is just a sea of red, it feels like, and relief pitching probably. But we'll get you guys caught up there. And kind of the point of these exercises is to see maybe someone that surprised you, but also it's kind of another way of saying, should I drop guys because they just really aren't that good? Sure. Like, what did we do here? Yep. So it's a way to reassess your own teams as well. And, the midterm of the season. So until then, check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BD Intrick, and this was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 358. Catch y'all next time.